A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
We'd like to acknowledge the Kaurna people as the traditional custodians of the land on which this podcast is recorded and produced.
Welcome to The Beautiful Nightmare. It's the podcast for when you're flying by the seat of your pants. You're with Chanel and Tamara.
Yes. We've got a bit of a different episode today.
Oh, it's really interesting. I loved it. I really enjoyed it. Why are you laughing at me? Sorry. Am I loving it? I'm being serious.
No, I'm laughing at you thinking what you're going to say because I don't know what we're going to say. We interviewed none other than the incredibly funny, beautiful man, Sean Zeps.
Who Chanel called Sean Sheeps before you.
I did not. I did. It's only because my tongue was tight. But Zeps, Sean Zeps.
Very cool name.
He is the DILF. Dad I love to follow. Internet clown, parenting sensation, all-round funny man.
Podcaster, writer. I think he's done loads of things.
He has.
He has. And we had a fantastic chat to him about all things being one of two dads to twins. And we talked about so much stuff.
So
we got
much
down
stuff.
And dirty with a lot of things.
It was
a
comedy podcast / a current affair show.
It was current affair show. You'll enjoy it. So please enjoy Sean Zeps.
Hit it.
That's what I'm talking about.
Wait.
Okay, now from the beginning.
The Beautiful Nightmare.
Oh, Mom. This is going to be quite fun.
What are you talking about?
Hello, Sean.
Hello.
Oh, nice to meet you.
We were just chatting to you before. You've got quite a sexy little accent. Where in America is that from? And don't tell me Canada because that is such a terrible
thing. Would be embarrassing for you, Chanel.
It would be great for me. Like, if you want to talk about politics, I'm Canadian. And if you want to talk about anything else, I'm American. I am from the Northeast, New Hampshire, about an hour outside of Boston, pretty close to the Canadian border. So I think some people hear a hint of it in my voice.
Yeah, right.
I wouldn't know what I'm hearing. It feels so ignorant for me to say that. It's probably like someone saying, we can't tell the difference between Aussies and Kiwis. I struggle with certain American accents and Canadian accents blurring in. It's terrible. Unless you're from like Southern and you really know, you know, distinctly that you're from Dallas or somewhere like that.
Exactly. But you wouldn't have an accent coming from near Boston, like that really Bostonian Ben Affleck accent?
My grandmother has a very regal Northeastern accent, which the closest connection I can think of is like Jackie Onassis, a kind of...
What a vibe.
You know, there is definitely some pack in there and like some water, which is not so dissimilar to an Australian accent.
I agree.
But I went to school for theater, so it beat every ounce of an accent out of me. And now you have what I would call, in like an audio sense,
general,
smack dab in the middle. It's a general accent.
Midwest.
I can be whatever you want me to be.
I love this.
I'm sure you can. Oh, by the way, we didn't really introduce ourselves. I'm Tamara.
Chanel.
This is Chanel.
Hi. If you guys could switch seats, it would match the labeling here on Riverside. That'd be a lot better for me.
Match the labeling. Oh my god.
Is it? That's funny. We actually do sit if I usually whenever we do interviews, which isn't that often, I sit on this side and Tamara sits on this side. So
weird.
But she, but I'm shorter, so she's given me the little mic, the baby mic.
Anyway, but getting on with it.
Oh. What are you doing here in Aussie land? You're married. You found the love of your life.
An Aussie. Found the love of my life, yeah. Why an Aussie? Is that what you said?
Oh, I didn't say that.
Oh. Why? Are you a cute?
I said nothing.
I married an Aussie man. I met him in New York City 13 years ago. And when we had children, we were discussing where we wanted to raise them. America was on fire, literally burning left and right. And I was like, maybe I should jump ship. And I did. And here we are.
In Sydney, yeah?
Yeah.
Excellent. And you love it there? How long have you been?
We're going on our seventh year. And so I just can't imagine leaving. Once your children get ingratiated into a community, it's definitely hard to consider leaving. But on top of that, I just find healthcare, lack of guns, more relaxed work-life culture, lack of guns, nice beaches, lack of guns to be very alluring.
The gun thing does scare me a bit. And I don't understand the argument the Americans have about their gun culture and how, well, we have a right to protect ourselves. But it's this whole, like, the chicken and the egg thing. Like, seriously, like, if we just didn't have them, then you'd have no issue. And they don't really want to look to other countries like Australia. That is a great example of, you know, how it's working not having guns.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
It's all about freedom. Live free or die. I mean, you know, you will not. If an entire country is built off of this idea of we will no longer be under your rules dictatorship, like, we're going to start fresh and we're going to build our entire constitution on freedom of speech and arms, all of that. The idea, the closer we get to removing those foundational laws, is in many people's mind the demise of the United States entirely. Mm-hmm. Some would argue it's already happened, and others are kind of latching onto it. I respect anyone who really wants to hold on to their old values. Can't relate, but I can respect the fact that you are chasing an ideal that is really consistent with what white men hundreds and thousands of years ago thought was the gold standard. I can respect that, just like I can respect you believing in a God that I don't believe in. So
yeah. And the home of the brave. In that one. So true. Oh, my goodness.
So you're here in Sydney now. You've got your two babies, your hubby. Please tell me, because last week was Mardi Gras. Did you do something for Mardi Gras? Or did you say, I'm a bit tired?
Babe, I was in bed at 8:30.
I have kids, goddammit.
Like, what was I supposed to do? I feel like a terrible gay. Really, I do. but I'm a homosexual with a social anxiety disorder, which is why I make a living online where I don't have to interact with humans. Not a massive fan of people.
Yeah.
And so the idea of being in a very large crowd is my personal hell and worst case scenario. Yeah. But I will watch from afar and applaud and celebrate. I've been before. I've experienced it in many cities. It is a beautiful, beautiful experience, just not one that I sign up for willingly.
Who likes crowds? Let's be honest. What is good about
people who go to Mardi Gras every year, I guess.
I reckon they probably, pardon the expression, suck it up and just get on with
it. They do. They're sucking it up for sure.
But the crowds are horrible. What is good to be about crowds anywhere?
Yeah, no.
Yeah. I mean, my version of a crowd that's annoying is like four people. So I think my definition and their definition are a little bit different. So like, if four is too much for me, 4 million is probably my worst case scenario.
A quorum is your ultimate, the four. Okay. Yes. I see.
But I did go to Melbourne to speak at a panel about my book, which is a very queer book. Almost all of the topics were pride related. And so I felt that I was doing my part from afar.
Yeah, I love
good
it.
On you. Applause so for that. Good. Oh my gosh. You were talking, just to go back, about coming here with twins who were born overseas. Yeah, born in the US. Yep. And you trying to, I mean, you're saying someone who's particularly introverted, I'm guessing, to make friends and to kind of break those barriers when it comes to entering a community.
Yeah.
And how I read that you found that quite hard when it came to things like parent groups.
Yeah, I mean, hard is one way to describe it. Fucking the worst thing that ever happened to me is another way to describe it. Yeah, listen, I would not recommend, all jokes aside, that anyone move to a new country, leave their job, have two twins, no connection to a friendship group, no family structure, and try to navigate sleep deprivation. Like, I just wouldn't recommend that to my worst enemy. You know, I had high hopes for what I was capable of, but the reality is, when sleep deprivation, I mean, it's literally a form of torture that we use in war, but 100%. When you place that on the most prepared, sound, supported individual, they still struggle. And so drop, you know, two first-time dads with twins, you know, for me in a new country, you're navigating culture shock, you're navigating loneliness, you're navigating trying to fill a home because you own nothing. And so it was just, it was really, really, really bad. And looking back on it, there are so many things I wish I had done differently, like moving here before the kids were born, or taking a longer time in the States, or setting up a better friendship connection somehow. All the things are possible. But, you know, yeah, I look back at that time and I go, and it didn't happen. La, 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 la. It did, you know, fake news.
Well, you don't have a crystal ball. It's like with any parenting. Yeah. You're like, damn it, why didn't we do this? But it is what it is, right? And like you say, you got through it, obviously. And you said, as a dad, having postnatal depression, which is something quite new, I think, particularly for any parent to hear.
Yeah.
Or any dad. And... yeah,
you know what? Women struggle to talk about it, postnatal depression, because it's a stigma. Or you had that, I didn't have that.
Yeah.
So now we're introducing the male side of that, and it's really important to talk about because it doesn't get much airtime.
No, you're right.
You know?
Obviously, women and men have been struggling with mental health issues long before those terms existed. Doctors were introduced. The trauma of birth for many women, the change of their bodies, that connection with a young child, it's very disruptive. And only in a recent time, the introduction of modern medicine and that specific relationship to psychologists has been more popularized, are we able to give people a title, a name, and therefore solutions that can help them get to a better place. Men, especially in Australia, a culture of she'll be right. I don't need therapy. Yeah. Why would I get help? I don't talk to my mates, the fellow blokes down at the pub or the sports team about how I'm feeling. Mm. Men are really, in many ways, a decade and a half behind women.
Yeah.
It's true, there is a stigma, but more and more and more women for the last 10 years have been speaking honestly about, this is really difficult. I'm struggling. I raised my hand and now I got help. And that has had a trickle down effect to the next generation of mothers going, okay, I'm feeling similar. I should speak up too.
Yes.
But men just aren't. Now, I am a really great example of how gender in many ways is meaningless when it comes to mental health struggles. Your mental health doesn't go easy on you if you're a man or a woman, especially in those early days. And I didn't know what that title was. I had never heard of I had heard of postnatal depression, I lied, but I'd obviously heard about it linked to women. But I didn't go in and say, give me a diagnosis. I want whatever they're having. I was struggling. I was clearly depressed. I've experienced those symptoms prior to having a child. And at the end of the day, if you're struggling and you grew up in a culture where it was okay to raise your hand, America is definitely ahead of Australia in getting help when needed and going and seeing that therapist. So I just kind of went to the doctor, spoke to my GP, told him what I was feeling. I was scared. You know, when you're experiencing genuine postnatal depression, not just a little sadness or you're kind of tired, but negative, truly negative, scary thoughts where you're not sure if you should be in charge of children.
Yeah.
You should go to your GP. It doesn't matter if you're the manliest of all blokes. If your life or other lives are at risk, you raise your hand and you get help. And that's what I did.
Yeah. That's amazing.
And you said you got to a breaking point, Sean, when you drove yourself to Sydney Airport, ready to fly anywhere to just kind of escape. And for you, that pivotal point, where did you go from there? How did you come out the other side? What was that journey like?
I definitely, for like months prior, had been starting to think of like exit strategies. That's what I would call it. where would I go? How would I get there? How would I erase my tracks? How can I ensure no one would find me? Would my husband be okay? Would my, you know, what would my children do without me? They're young enough. Would I find a way to say goodbye to my parents in America? How would, you know, would they be able to find me? At what point would I recontact people? Would I disappear? Like, I had done all of that work. I had done all the Googles, countries easiest to disappear.
Wow.
Which is how I landed on Mexico. I was like, okay, well, I'm Cuban. I'll be able to speak and learn the language faster. It's easy to disappear. I can do that. Now, having the thoughts, typing it into Google is one thing.
Yeah. Mm.
Standing on the precipice of that,
the reality, like
at the airport, 4 a.m, all alone, your husband and your children have no idea what's happening. And you're just standing there looking and going, oh, your mind is broken. This is not you.
What a moment in time.
You need help. Yeah. I mean, I definitely remember that moment being like, you need help. That was the first thought. You need help. This is not something.
Did you feel like that was you telling you that, or some kind of spiritual, I don't know, something where someone looking after you on the other side is saying, you're okay. You just need a little something. You know what I mean? There's in those moments of such, it's huge. It's mammoth. The emotion, the everything, it's just out of this world. Almost, you're almost having an out of body experience. And then you're having this kind of support, let's say, from loved ones that finally you're hearing them saying, we're just going to give you the path to where you are now. So thank you for being so honest with that, because so many women, I know even some friends of mine have said, I want to run away. I just want to run away for a period of time. I don't know. I don't want to come back. But I know they don't mean that in the way it sounds, but at the time they need an escape because they're struggling and they're really having a hard time. And it doesn't have to be that you're in the newborn phase. It could be you've got teenagers, whatever it is. But that type of honesty from you and from so many others that we don't talk about because we don't want to seem like we're not doing it right, you know. And it seems like you found laughter and laughing at yourself and all the dumb shit that goes on to be like a healing experience. Like laughter really is the best medicine. I say it all the bloody time, and it does. It solves so many things.
Oh, you're so right. I mean, listen, when you're a young queer person in this world, when you're anyone who's different, if you sit outside the norm, if you spend your life on the bench watching the sports team play, you get really good at figuring out ways to kind of mask and deal with that.
Yeah.
For me, it was always comedy. It was always, you know, being the center of attention and being a show and making people giggle. Back then, it was about like, if you're laughing with me, then you can't laugh at me. I'm going to beat you to the punch.
I see that. Yeah.
But now it's evolved to being like, no, this is now a superpower that I have. Back then it was, I felt like I had no other choice.
Coping mechanism. Yeah.
But now I'm like, oh, well, I've done my 1,000 hours. I know I'm funny. Like, Absolutely. Let's lean into this and make some money.
Great. I love that you came to that realization. Thank God you did. Because you were, some of the videos you shared.
Mate, you are
hilarious.
Funny.
And I was like, how can you make more? I don't know, because we often do this, don't we? We've made videos about kids. And I was like, how can you come up with more content? But you've done it. I was like, crap, that's so true. Going through the drive-through at Macca's. I was like, for fuck's sake,
the park, the pool, the aeroplane.
The playground.
I start off watching your videos ready to just, what's he going to show me? And then my lips go. And then I'm this and at the end of it. And I'm hitting my leg going, yes, it's amazing. The wee in the pool, the this, that, the look at me, the noodle, that just keeps going.
I know.
And the licking of the airplane seat and the touching of the person's head. It's just disaster, parenthood.
It's all relatable. It really is. And who's filming all of this, by the way?
I have an assistant. Her name is Amanda. She's a mother. I very specifically was sexist and wanted a woman mom to work for me. I did all the things you're not allowed to do in big business. I was like, I need to have on the other side of this phone someone who really gets it.
Yeah.
And I just knew that if there was another parent, another primary caregiver, specifically I wanted someone who had kids a little bit older because I wanted my content to be able to stretch. But for me, my sounding board, my target audience, I'm a strategist originally. I worked in advertising for 11 years as an advertising strategist. So I always am like 10 steps ahead. This is an accident. None of this is an accident.
No.
I knew who my target audience was, and I hired my target audience as an assistant, and her and I are just the best of friends, and we just laugh. It's great.
You have to. That's fun, isn't it? Yeah. You know, when you say Amanda, I can't stop thinking of The Simpsons, and whenever I hear that name, Amanda Hug and Kiss. I got Amanda Hug and Kiss on the phone. You know, Mo, he's always getting there.
Because so Bart runs up and pranks.
Yeah.
Sorry. That's so good.
Yeah.
So you've got this wonderful, move the hubby aside, you've got this wonderful relationship with your assistant that you guys just have this chemistry that you know what each other's thinking, and you produce friggin' funny content. Like, that's
Thank
it.
Thank you.
What's next? Apart from doing all these wonderful videos, are you going to look to do some... he's thinking about...
He can't tell us, see? It's a surprise. He's doing Dr. Evil Hands.
He's going on tour. Yeah. He's doing TV shows.
The goal has always been... There's like a two kind of pillar goal. I got into this wanting specifically to connect with parents. It was definitely, I saw an opportunity to create content that women can't create for women. And that is really important to unpack. Mm. My content is about the discomfort of parenting, the ugly moments. I say the rude reality of parenthood.
Yeah.
Oftentimes when women share shouting at their kids or getting frustrated about a terrible moment or being overly stressed out about germs, they get dragged by each other in a way that men in our lovely patriarchal society don't. Now, I'm a primary parent, so my experience other than birth and breastfeeding is incredibly similar to women. And I realized quite early on other women saying, oh my God, I can't believe I relate to you. Oh my God, I can't believe I connect with you. Oh my God, that's my experience too. I'm so confused. You're a man.
Yeah.
And I thought, there's something here.
Yeah.
If I can slowly but surely, it happens on every video, get 100 women to say, it's so refreshing to see a man have the same experience. Or maybe my husband's excuses aren't as valid as I thought. Or I'm a woman who's not empathetic and sympathetic and a natural mother. My husband is, and you're an example of that.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I thought, if I could do that, I'll be able to connect with women. So that was always the goal. Be funny, lean into your acting, comedy training, and hopefully carve out a niche for yourself, kind of a la Chris Lilly, but in the parenting space.
Yes, it's funny you said Chris Lilly. You do remind me of Chris Lilly. That's who it is. Mm. I was like, it's the
facial features a little bit too.
Yeah, you're similar.
We have the same nose. We have the same face structure. We're also represented by the same agent. So like it comes up.
You could write a song. You know the Poo on You song? That was good.
Yes. Oh, I'm ready. And I love Chris, and I love Summer Heights High. So there was always that path. But one of the things I didn't plan for was that children became obsessed with the videos. Like, I have a massive audience who are the children of the women who follow me. And I get 2 videos a week of kids recreating my videos or kids watching it. Or there's a little boy before surgery watching the videos and laughing. And that's when I decided, yes, it would be great to pursue comedy. I'd love to do that. It may or may not be in the works. But then there's this other path. And the path is children's entertainment. Mm-hmm. And when I made that decision, that's when I started making content as a child. And when I did that, my audience doubled, tripled, quadrupled. So I think there's something special to explore in the children's entertainment space. Children love to see adults playing them, and parents like to see their kids have that aha moment of, that's what you have to deal with. We are that. We are like that.
That's so true.
It's weirdly like educational, therapeutic. It bonds the parents with the kids. I think I'm like a much more PG version of Chris, like without the swearing
Absolutely.
Yeah. But it's a vibe. It's your brother from another mother, something like that. You were separated at birth, I'm sure of it.
Yeah.
And you were sent to Boston and he was in New Zealand. But it's so funny.
Yeah,
so
we love it. We do. We're glad it's out there.
Tell us a busted story that's happened this week or something. Something's happened to you this week. You have. It must have. I don't know.
Oh, babe, something. 3 things happened today and 6 things happened yesterday. I mean, this is my fave story. So I'm solo parenting for 3 weeks. Shout out to anyone who is a solo parent. I am dealing with 1/1,000,000th of what you do on a regular basis. But my husband is traveling internationally for work. And so I'm just kind of doing it all, right? And so 6 loads of laundry the night before, clean the entire house, start to get the lunches ready, wake up early in the morning, get their uniforms, bags packed, lunches made, breakfast made, uniform, my own outfit, because I'm going on television in an hour and a half, so I have to get my entire outfit steamed and ready, my own breakfast, walk out the front door, right, turn to the car, locked myself out. Not just locked myself out, but locked my car key in the house. The kids go to school 30 minutes away from my house. I need to get to the school in exactly 32 minutes because my car is picking me up to go to the Today Show 2 minutes after drop off. I have timed every, what I did, I screamed, kicked the door. I said, kids, turn around, kicked the door. Texted my husband, like, we're getting a divorce. No, I was like, I've locked out, fix this problem, as if he's going to be able to do that from LA. Recouped. It's like, don't cry. You've just put makeup on under your beautiful eyes so your bags don't look baggy on the Today Show. And I called a cab, chucked the kids in the cab. I can't get in the house. There's no spare key. We've just moved in. I can't get to the landlord's in time.
So you couldn't kick the door down is what you're saying. I tried.
Oh, I tried. Am I proud of that? No. But I did it.
Is the door okay? Not a dent.
Didn't break a window. What about the whole, I've secretly always wanted to do the thing where you put like a cardigan or something around your hand and then smash the window. Smash. What about that? Didn't do that?
No, I'm renting right now. I can't do that.
Oh, you're renting.
Fight for
it. Yeah. Okay. Jesus Christ.
So
the kids are in a cab.
Yep, they're in a taxi. I'm trying to explain to the taxi driver why it's such a big deal. I'm like, I just got locked out. The kids have to get to school and I had to go on television. He's like, I don't give a shit, bro. Shut up.
Yeah, he does not care, no.
But listen, we got the kids to school. We got in that car. I got on TV. Everything was settled. We got the keys afterwards and we're good. But wow, I mean, that's all happening before 7:30. Not cute. Not cute.
As stressful, yeah.
That's parenting.
On the daily. Yeah, there's always something like a pee up the nose or a Nutri-Grain in the bum. I don't know. Whatever.
Something.
There's things happening, aren't there?
You've got a boy and a girl. Six. Six.
Six.
Six. That's it.
Both six because they're twins.
Yeah, that's unless, how twins
work. Unless the second twin was born a year later, which would be amazing.
So cool.
Although I heard something, a couple of weeks ago, there was a news article saying two twins of different ages.
Yes.
So one was born, I know.
5 minutes apart.
On the new year.
Oh.
So yeah, one is born in 2023 and the other's 2024, but they're
That's cool.
Also, there are twins, I think the largest gap, I don't want to make it up, you'd have to Google, but it's like more than 100 days. For a plethora of reasons, there are children who, an emergency C-section, a placental abruption, a child that is born and the doctors have the ability to have the other child go to full term. Like there are cases where and your twin have a much larger gap than say my twins, which is 1 minute.
Do you know what? I've know quite a few lesbian mums. Mm-hmm. I don't know any gay dads apart from now you. And I'm
the only one. It's just me. You'll never meet any other. Yeah, this is it. Hello.
What is going on? Is it because it's so much harder? Because there seems to be a lot of women that are able to, obviously, because it helps having
two women.
One can
two
carry.
Wombs.
Okay, yeah. Two wombs. But essentially what I'm saying is it feels like it's so far less common for two gay dads than two gay mums.
Yeah, if you look at the data, there are definitely a lot of gay dads, but what we understand culturally is that society was more comfortable with two women being together before they were comfortable with two men being together.
Yeah.
A lot of the rule makers at the time were white men and they love nothing more than the thought of two women being together. But what you also have
terrible
socially, yeah, terrible, literally disgusting. But what you also have is people. Almost all of the early parents who were queer were hacking systems, right? They were figuring out ways to get in the front door.
Yeah, loopholes.
And single mothers and single fathers are some of those earlier stories of like, well, I am with a guy, but I can't legally get married. So as far as society is concerned, I'm going on this journey by myself. And you're right, like the earliest IVF stories or the ability to carry from a turkey baster of a gay friend were occurring in a lesbian couples. And even when you think about like gay marriage getting passed very late, just here in Australia, you have more maternal individuals, women who were growing up in society where they were being told from a young age, motherhood is an option for you, taught whether this is good or bad, more maternal skills, caring child, where I think you have more women in general, and this is obviously a gross generalization, but I think I'm right, who have that feeling inside that that's an option for them. It's something they want to explore. That happens less for straight men, let alone gay men. And so I think, we see all that trickle down. I mean, I've looked in certain places, you have just as many gay men having children as you do gay women now. But yeah, I think you probably see a lot more proud out there women having children, whereas men might not have spent their entire life thinking that is even an option for them.
True. Do you know, funny thing that I learned recently, and you probably know this already, that being a lesbian was never illegal, but being gay was illegal.
Yeah.
Work that out.
Yeah, that's literally what I mean, like societal
pressure. Who made the rules?
Women were never illegal.
Yeah. It goes to show that it was never really about religion. It was about someone's discomfort thinking about it. Like, 100%. I don't want to think about you two doing that, so I'm going to make it illegal. Even if you look back into some of our most documented history of gay struggle is from New York City. Unbelievable books that have been documented and tracked through diary entries. And when the police were like breaking in and causing drama, they were mostly going to gay male bars and breaking in and breaking up those parties. It definitely happened to lesbians, do not get me wrong.
Yeah.
And they were such an active, proud part of our struggle. In fact, that's why Dykes on Bikes still lead the way in almost every pride parade. They were our protectors.
Yes.
Because they knew the struggle, but they weren't dealing with it as physically in some cases. And so that's, I think, why that relationship is so important. Like, even when they weren't struggling the same physical way, they were still standing by our side and in many cases in front of us, because the police would come for us before they'd come for them. You can't hit a woman.
Yeah. Yes. In so many areas. It's just so refreshing now that when being gay doesn't mean you can't be a parent. So this is something as well. So a lot of women and men would have had to turn that side of them off, that desire to be a parent. And it's nice where now someone like you, Sean, can be a representation in this country. We're getting there. We're getting there. Yeah. We're making progress. Not going to dumb down anything. We're getting there.
Sean, what do you know what the process is if you are, you know, two men in a relationship and you'd like to have kids? Can you can't have a surrogacy here in Australia. It's illegal.
It is
so
illegal.
What are the options that you, because I've got two friends who went through hell, actually, to the point where in South Australia they weren't exactly sure what to do with the child, even though it was biologically my friend's son. But they were like, well, but he was born overseas in Mexico, and it was this really complicated thing. He was worried he was going to lose his son. And this was a beautiful family that could provide so much for this child, and it's just so sad. I thought, well, hang on, haven't we progressed to the point where this is easier? Like, why is it like adoption or all these options? Mm-hmm. So I'm thinking, like, what are people doing? Are they having to go overseas, have kids, come back? Yeah.
So 8 years ago, the options were actually a lot more than they are today. So we've gone backwards, not forwards, in international law around surrogacy. When we started the journey, you could have children in Mexico, the United States, I believe India. And there was a terrible earthquake in India, and the camera crews at CNN were filming, and out of the rubble came two gay men from the States who were in India having their child, and they were holding a baby, and that camera crew caught homosexuals.
Yeah, right.
And then you write the headlines itself, and immediately you started to see these other smaller countries just make it illegal. So currently your option is you have children in America. Now, it doesn't mean that you can't, it's very important that we understand this distinction. You can do surrogacy in this country. You can only do altruistic surrogacy. And what that means is you do it out of the goodness of your heart, not for commercial benefit.
Sure.
What's illegal, and so New South Wales, if Josh and I did the same thing we did, we'd go to jail for 2 years. So paying a fee to the surrogate for what she has gifted, right? So that's illegal. So if you are a gay couple, you can still pursue adoption. There are wonderful adoption agencies. This country has done well. You can type into Google gay adoption and you can go down that path. But if you want to do surrogacy, let's say you have eggs donated to you from someone, a family member, a friend, or you go through an egg bank and you want to use your sperm and you want to go through the traditional IVF process, have someone carry that child, and you believe that they have a right to compensation. Mm-hmm. They're putting their life on the line. They're carrying your child. They're going to have to step away from work. They're going to need new clothes. They're going to have more food in their belly. Like, they deserve money for all of that. Sure. If you believe that that is the right thing, you would need to go through an agency in the United States. And there are a lot of them, and they're very used to working with Aussies. So in the short term, that's the solution. There are great organizations like Circle Surrogacy that are working with the government as we speak in each individual state to see if they can update those laws. I think the laws come from a good place. At the end of the day, we have lived through times where women have been exploited. Their bodies have been exploited. It's happening right now all across the world.
Yeah.
And so lawmakers are basically wanting to ensure, it's almost like a renter's law, that they have the right to that ownership of their body and someone else can't abuse it.
Yeah.
But what's tricky is then when you flip the script, then they're losing bodily autonomy to make the decision that's right for them. So we're stuck in a place. It's like, well, we don't want people to abuse those women, but currently we're not allowing women to say, this is something I want to do.
Yeah.
I love being pregnant. I want to help another family out, but my family is done. And so hopefully we'll get there, because I would love women who enjoy being pregnant, who would love to help a family out. It doesn't even need to be a queer family. There are so many straight people who cannot conceive, who would like to have children that are biologically theirs, and it's possible through surrogacy.
Yeah. See, this is why I think it's easier for women, because there's less loopholes to jump through, you know, and that's probably why it's a little bit more common, let's say, in this country for what we might see just around in the school playgrounds and anything like that. But you know what? I'm laughing a little bit because this is a comedy podcast, but we have gone down the route of current affairs.
Real serious,
we are solving the world's problems.
It's interesting.
It's so good. I'm learning so friggin' much.
Listen, behind the comedian is someone who has a lot to say. You just don't see it online all the time.
It's so good. I didn't know any of this stuff. I'm like, yeah, tell me more.
Right, tell me more, Sean. Tell me more. Yeah. So going back, when you your kids first started school, what was it like for you going into the school? And I guess a lot of people like to think they're quite open-minded when it comes to people who are different, you know, whether they're in a same-sex marriage or whatever it is.
From
and they're
a different
like, oh,
country,
you know,
whatever.
But how did you, how were you, not greeted, but like, did people take you under their wing? Did you quickly become part of that school community, or was it hard, or was it, what was the journey?
When my kids started school, I had quite a large Instagram account with a lot of parents who knew who I was.
Loved
so
you.
When I rocked up at that school the first day, within 10 minutes, there were these moms coming up. They're like, oh my God, I can't believe you're at the school. This is so great. I hope you make a video about the principal. Like, whatever.
Oh my God.
The principal follows me. The teachers follow me. So like, I can't do anything. But
you had groupies.
Yeah, literally. I am not the boy I was growing up, right? I don't live in a small town. I purposely left to go live in major cities. I live not just in Sydney, in the inner west. So I basically have created a world for myself by choice where I'm more likely to be surrounded by people who are accepting.
Yeah,
right? I'm not living in the bush. I'm not like going to a farm country where I might stand out.
Mm-hmm.
People who live in the inner west of Sydney and in Melbourne and in Adelaide, they've seen gay people before. They're not like, they all know. And so I think if anything, I walked right in, I saw shade right in, I owned it. I had a really cute outfit and I was like, you're welcome. I'm here now. Now you can tell people, guess what? We have a gay at the school. And I'm sure they do. I hope they do. We weren't the first ever, but we were like the only one at that time.
Yep.
I don't think there's a gay dad at our school. In the village.
Oh, no, there definitely is. They just have a wife.
Yeah.
Oh, now you've got me. Now you've got me thinking. I'm thinking the basketball match. I'm like, oh, what about
you? Which one of you is on Grindr behind her back?
I'm gonna start noting it.
And the sly look as they're leaving. Yeah, see you later.
I'm gonna stop watching the kids and start watching the parents.
Listen, it's a real thing. It occurs on both sides. There are some fabulous lesbians stuck in a straight relationship all around you. No judgment whatsoever. But they're there. I know they are. I've seen the research. I know the data numbers. You know, if you got a couple hundred, there's bound to be five.
Yeah, who's not telling you? I'm dying for some footy players to come out. I'm like, there's too much straight masculine energy there. Come on, we need. Yeah. Oh my gosh, I feel like we're so behind on that.
Oh, there are loads, and we all know. Yeah, there are.
They just won't put
that's
their
a shame.
Hands up. Come on.
I know.
Yeah, I mean, listen, it's a lot to ask, isn't it? Like, hey, we want you to be yourself in one of the most straight environments that exists in an incredibly historically homophobic and sexist and racist environment. And we want you to be the poster boy for the sport. Fuck that. Who wants that pressure? They just want to go to work and have sex when they go home. They don't want to bring that. And what's tricky, I'm a huge tennis fan, a tennis player. There's also no openly gay active tennis players. Who wants to be the first? That's a lot of pressure. I feel like once we have the first, the person who's comfortable owning that, which is a lot, they're going to carry that with them for the rest of their lives. First openly gay tennis player, not unbelievable tennis player.
Tennis player, yeah.
But once you get the first,
well, Gareth,
they're going to have to make a sacrifice, right?
Gareth Thomas, the Welsh rugby player. I can't remember if he came out after he retired or something, but he was a big poster boy for that. There's not a lot. I feel like AFLW has done a lot for women.
Oh, amazing.
In sport. And the Matildas, amazing, amazing. But the men's side, it's there. I think, as you said, who wants to put their hand up to be a poster boy? No one.
Yeah, it's a lot to ask.
Go through that hard time first to get there, you know?
Mm. Yeah.
But anyway, it makes me laugh that we're on the sidelines going, just do it. But it's not affecting us at all.
I'm sure it's easy. No one's going to write a negative article about you. No one.
No.
Like, come on.
Actually, there was I don't know why I did this because I'm not normally someone to read some of the shitty comments unless I'm searching for a comedy angle to laugh. Mm. Then that's different. But Nat Bathingwaite.
I don't know how to say it.
She's just come out recently, or maybe even not. Just found a relationship with a woman and is very happy to be in one. Mm. Some of the crap that was written about her on her own Instagram page, I was like, "You humans are filthy. You disgust me." Like
we're pretty trash as a population.
That's like, what I mean.
Humans are gross,
you know. And they're commenting on her partner, how everyone looks, what. Yeah, it just blows my mind with how anyone else thinks they have an opinion on how someone's life goes and how they want to live. I can't cope with it. But you would think because, you know, she is a famous singer and she's an Australian, people would wrap their arms around her. And I think many have, but there's still a lot of crap to feed through.
Yeah, you know exactly. What I mean? I was actually at breakfast this morning with a Kiwi. Love From Your Dads, which is an Instagram account. We were just like having breakfast with a mate, a Sandy, talking about pride and what it's like to be three content creators this day and age, working with big brands, putting yourself out there, and then what you have to deal with in the comment section. And one of the things I was saying was, to us, it's no big deal because the three of us understand the reality of what it's like to be different. Like when I get hate messages every single day, and I don't even show my kids or my husband or talk about being gay. Obviously I am, because like, who has hair this fabulous that's straight?
Hair,
like, it doesn't exist.
100%.
And
it's
I'm pretty flamboyant.
So thick and luscious. Hang on a minute. That
I have
hair.
To enjoy it now before it all goes away.
There's no oh, sign of it going away, is there?
Oh yeah, look at all the men in my family. It's like
hang
the maternal,
on.
You know.
Yes, it's on your mother's side.
Yeah,
so.
Bald.
Bald
out. Bald.
Yeah.
But
say goodbye.
But they didn't have hair plug restoration surgery, and we do. Thank
Don't do. No.
I was kidding.
But, thank God.
But your hair is gorgeous.
Thank you.
It is.
No, in just, many cases, distracted. I would say, no, stop it. But in this case, I will say, you're right. You're right. Yeah, you're right. Also, hair brands. Where are the hair brands? I'm waiting.
They need
it's
to cover
waiting.
You.
Yes, Sean's looking for hair brands. If you're hearing, if you're listening, Tresemme.
Ooh, la, la.
Yeah. he's here. Look at
that. Matrix. We've got Goldwell. We've got Davro. Hello, come on. Let's get the sponsorships happening.
Yeah. Sean Zaps. He's next.
Done.
What were we talking about before this?
Oh, I was saying that. It's often really well-intended, beautiful, empathetic women who are like, I just can't believe the hate you're getting. And I'm like,
really?
Yes. Yeah. Sounds like you've been living in a very cute left-leaning bubble, my dear.
Yeah.
That's actually the reality. That's the real world.
Mm.
Like when you're dealing with the yes vote in Australia or you're watching drama around a gay potentially being a president, all these wonderful people come forward from major cities and they're like, I just don't understand why anyone would have anything negative to say about homosexuality. And I'm like, damn, you have not been in the real world for a while.
It's a nice place to come from, isn't it?
Oh, it's the best place to come from. Don't we all want to live in a beautiful echo chamber surrounded by people who are like, everyone
lovely,
should
lovely,
just
lovely.
Love each other. And then you go into like a gay person's comment section, you're like, oh. So lots of people hate you. And you know what? Sad, but also by this point of the journey, kind of funny. You're like, oh wow, your life really sucks, babe. Like, you're in my comment section.
Yeah, that's what I often think.
Do they send you dick pics?
I wish. Where are the dick pics?
What?
I'm furious. No dick pics.
Got nice hair. He might get some.
Not even
pics.
Any tits. Nothing.
I was going to say, Fanny, maybe get some Fanny
no,
pics.
No, just a picture of the Bible.
I love it. Just in case you didn't know.
The power of Christ compels you. Just here and now.
And I usually respond with Jesus was gay, and then I block them. Yeah, just so they know. I'm like, listen, if he was around today, he'd be marching in the rallies. I know it.
That's
side
it.
By side. He might look like this.
Oh,
maybe
I'm
a bit longer.
Saying,
a little
I'm just
bit longer.
Saying. Yeah. Well, no, this is the modern version of Jesus. He shortened it to be, you know.
And if you have a top knot, definitely Jesus would have had 100%. A top knot.
Yeah. I've seen you with a top knot on some of your videos. You absolutely could, yeah.
Rocking
maybe
it.
That's a new career pathway if you ever find that you're bored with this sort of stuff. Be Jesus.
Go into religion. Okay, that's good to know. Listen, a new character. This is just development.
We can workshop anytime. Mm-hmm.
Okay, great. Jesus. That won't get me in any trouble online at all.
No. And you know what? This isn't to offend anyone who is religious in any way. This is purely just to point out that don't use religion to hide behind your terrible ways and to be nasty to people because it's crap. Because Jesus and Mary would not want people being nasty to other people, would they?
Especially
it's got nothing
Mary.
To do with them.
Yeah.
It's got to do with your badass attitude.
Sure.
With your crappy dick pics.
I was raised Roman Catholic. My whole family is Catholic. Like, that's my world. So I will speak very honestly and connect with you on the fact that I said it earlier in this chat, I respect you using your beliefs to hate. If that's really, like, if that Bible is it for you and you believe everything and you follow all of it to the T and you hate everyone equally that is a sinner in that, if that's you, I respect that. I really do. I'm not joking. Like, I respect people who have a belief and they stay true to it. It's only when you pick and choose, you're a little cafeteria Catholic. You don't like the gays, but you're totally fine with divorce and shellfish and you're fine smoking weed and you would never stone a woman for infidelity. Like, if all of those things you've grown up on, you've evolved.
Yeah. Exactly.
But just hey, and me, that's when I'm going to come for you. And guess what? I've read the Bible more times than you have, babe. So I'm ready to fight. Come into
my
DMs.
Have you heard of just a great example of the ladder? You were talking about everyone living the Bible to the ladder. to the letter at the West Burrows Church in whereabouts is it? I can't remember.
Oh, tomorrow.
They're quite famous. Louis Theroux interviewed them years ago, but they picket funerals of soldiers. They're outside abortion clinics. It's hate speech. It's extreme.
Yeah.
Like you're talking about
toxic
people
crap.
Really living it every day. They wake up and live this stuff. You know, it's fascinating to see people who can be indoctrinated into this type of thing.
We've got a couple in Rundle Mall, our shopping centre, that stand there and shout at you and literally want to knock you the fuck out with a Bible. And I don't think that's what it was intended
for. Yeah, you're going to hell.
It's like,
it's a hard damn thing. There's lots of pages.
But to see that how their minds work, it's quite a thing to look at these people and go, are you all right? You know what I mean?
I wish I was that passionate about anything. The only I would pick it for True. McDonald's, like for a Big Mac, I would get in front of a line and be like, you know, let's fight. I would throw a Bible at you if you said I couldn't have a Big Mac. But that's about it. That's like the only thing I'm really passionate about.
It's true. So much conviction. Damn them. So envious.
It's so funny. And you probably nearly threw a Bible at that cabbie driver who wasn't going to, threatening him if he wasn't going to get you to the studio and your Literally. Kids to school on time.
I bring a Bible with me everywhere I go. I have one right now just because you never know. It's a good, listen, weapon. It can get you what you want.
Well, if you can't use guns here, you can use the Bible.
So. What, a smack?
Yeah, a little whack. Oh, a little naughty one. The podcast is turning XX listeners.
Okay. No, we've been, that's all right. It will even more so now because we're going to ask you a couple of questions, a little game that we play with people when we interview them at the end.
Must be honest, you will be anyway, but come on.
Yes.
Okay.
It's a who would you rather, who would you rather rub uglies with? All right. Out of these three people. And you have to choose. All right. Okay.
Sean shit his pants a bit.
No, there's no.
No, this I'm is, pumped. No, what do you mean?
This is good fun.
The opposite of shit. I'm aroused. Let's do it.
Okay. So the first one, who would you rather? Tom Cruise, Ellen. I know. Look at the nostrils flaring. Mr. Snuffleupagus. Hot. Tell me you know who he is, right?
You know Mr. Snuffleupagus is hung like a horse.
That's what I'm saying.
Just hung like a horse. Ellen, I love you, but like you don't have what I like. So like I'm not going to be able to pretend.
Okay.
Tom Cruise, I think it would be wild. And I think I would be able to talk about it forever and maybe milk it into an entire new career. A book, My Week with Tom.
Or you could just milk it.
But I do just love a hairy hung man. So we're going with Snuffleupagus, I guess.
Going with Snuffles. I think Tom Cruise would be vigorous and it would be over very quick. There'd be a lot of, it would all be controlled by
and
him.
Aliens.
And you might get hit over the head with some sort of Bible at the end.
I can barely handle my DMs, let alone the drama of being Tom Cruise's first gay husband and the Scientology church coming for me, babe.
Oh, my God.
It's a no for me. I'm out.
Okay, no, you're out. Done. No, that would be scary.
I've got a question.
I like it.
Yes.
You know, when we've grown up, there's always been plenty of Disney movies that we've seen, and there's some characters that we may have fantasized about. And
may.
100%.
Last night.
Did you like Aladdin, King Tut?
I was literally just going to say Aladdin was one of my early awakenings for sure. I mean, like if they were all actual
people,
like humans that I could like pick and grab, who's the rock in Moana?
Oh,
Maui.
Maui.
Maui. Stop it. I would leave my husband and the kids today. They'll be fine without me.
Oh, my God.
So, be on the island with him.
The breasts alone.
The tattoos. Come on. I could see it.
You like the island of
that
big
is
guy.
So good. Yeah. What's that song that he sings?
You're welcome. You're welcome.
That's it. You're welcome.
Yeah. There you go.
That's it. That's my choice.
Oh, my God. Who was yours, Chanel? I can't remember. We have discussed this before. Was it
Aladdin? Back in the day, it was Aladdin.
Yeah.
As it should have been.
Yeah. I have to think a little bit more on that. That was an obvious choice as one, but there's more.
The latest one, you know, Frozen. Who's the good guy
Hans.
In that? Hans. Something. I think because what's the actor who plays him? I find him very attractive too.
Homosexual. Jonathan Groff.
Yes, Jonathan Groff. Yes.
Beautiful.
He's so hot. And in that, what's that show we watch with the detectives and the serial killer? Anyway, there was a show. And he was very hot in that.
Yeah, he was the lead in that.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then it got picked up for another season, though.
Damn it.
What a shame.
Yeah. Anyway, I quite like him because of the voice and the singing and the.
Yeah, I don't know that he would pick you over me, but like, listen, you can have hope.
Okay.
She's like, I have a strap on. You don't know anything about me.
Yeah, exactly. Good luck with that. Good luck with that, Sean.
One thing I have to ask is your stint on play school, reading the story. What the friggin' hell was that like? That's epic.
That's everyone's dream. As a performer, you do
realize. To sit there and do that.
You've done
it. I mean, I knew. Like, obviously I didn't grow up with Play School, but I grew up with Sesame Street, and my husband made it very clear as soon as we got here, because I raised my kids on Play School like every other parent.
Yes.
So I was like, this is really great. But, and he was like, oh, it's just like Sesame Street. So when they reached out to me via email, well, first off, I'm 6 years into raising my kids on it. I've seen all the episodes. I know some of the actors now.
Yes.
So I still freaked out. I still was like, this is huge for me. I work in the parenting media landscape. Like, I'm not naive to it. And when I got there, I'm like freaking out. You know, your name's on a dressing room with Big Ted and Jemima on it. You go onto the set and I go, oh, I'm really sorry. Like, does everyone freak out? And she goes, every single person freaks out. They're like, Amanda Keller's been on this 6 times and she still feels like a little kid.
I know, yes.
And at the end, they were like, do you want to meet Big Ted? And I got nervous. I literally said, I go, I'm really sorry. I don't want to interrupt his schedule. Does he have time? I wasn't joking. I like got nervous. They're like, let you hold him. It was such a peak for me. And I'm not even Australian.
God. Oh my God.
That is
wild. Jemima's a little busy, but Big Ted has got an opening at around 11.
She's in hair and makeup, but he's out.
Yeah.
He's free.
And little Ted, well, he's the left. Dog. Yeah, there was a couple that have left, I think, since then. There's a few new characters in our generation because we grew up with it too. So, it's good times. Well, congratulations.
So good.
And on all you've done, well done. It's fantastic.
You're pretty epic. We love you.
And
thank you.
Wish you all the best for all your future endeavors. Can't wait to see what all secret surprises you have in store for all of us.
Yes. Thank you so much. Nice to talk to you.
You too. Mwah. Thank you. Bye, lovely.
The Beautiful Nightmare is produced by Frankie Media and hosted by Chanel Franklin and Tamara Linke.
Want to know more about us?
Get in touch at thebeautifulnightmare.com or jump on our socials.
Wow, you can really make a podcast.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market. Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.